going to hear from the Green Party MEP for Ireland South, Grace O'Sullivan. She's in Kerry today and tomorrow, holding a series of meetings. She'll be meeting with farmers in Dingle over the nature restoration law tomorrow evening. I spoke to her about why she is in Kerry, and she started by referencing the recent heavy rainfall event in Tralee at the weekend.
I suppose the recent rains, Gerry, have kind of shocked many people in Kerry. The notice we're getting from the World Meteorological Organization that the temperatures in the sea in the Atlantic are 5 degrees warmer than normal. So that, and with every 1 degree of warming, you get a 7% increase in the uptake of moisture from the water bodies. So that I suppose the reality around climate change and the extreme weather events, we really need to plan for it. So I'll be meeting our 6 of our 7 candidates that will be running in the elections, the local elections next June, and I'll be hearing from them what's happening on the ground in Kerry. I'll also be having a public meeting in the Brenner Hotel in Dingle tomorrow night on the nature restoration law. So really, you know, it's a very kind of well-planned, focused visit.
Sure.
I'll be meeting Kate Carmody
up in
our organic farm.
What would you be saying at that meeting? I know a committee vote on the law was postponed till the end of the month. After you went over time, and obviously there are strong divisions among MEPs over the plan.
Yeah, so I suppose what I will be trying to do is reassure people and also appeal to our Irish MEPs to support the legislation, to keep it on the table and get it over the line, and reassure the farmers that in terms of the peatlands, the rewetting, that we have pushed in, the Greens have pushed in an article that they would be compensated for any work they do in that regard, and that really, even in terms of urban spaces, in terms of greening, that it is an opportunity. But everything that we're looking at needs to happen, really, because, Gerry, if we don't have healthy habitats and ecosystems, we won't be able to meet our climate targets. We see a reverse in the decline of biodiversity and pollinators. We won't be able to reverse that trend to a positive. So it's a must. We have to do it.
And, will you be able to convince farmers that if they change the way you want them to change, that they will be able to make a living from that change?
Gerry, I always say to farmers, and I met farmers in Skibbereen yesterday and in Bantry, like, I will be saying to farmers that we need to work together, we need to sit down, we need to collaborate, we need to see what's best for their land and how that they can be supported to farm with nature. And we saw, like, the LIFE project, farmers are well aware of that, conservation measures where farmers up in boglands, peatlands, are already, since decades now, being compensated for restoring habitats. So I think farmers are starting to get it. Now, Gerry, I have to say, at the outset of this legislation, now, it's been negotiated in the committee, Environment Committee, since over a year, but in the last 3 or 4 weeks, the disinformation, the absolute lies that was being told about what was in that legislation was untold now, the amount of stuff that was going on. So we've done a job of work to turn the tide on the misinformation, to explain what it is that the nature restoration is about, what it will do. It's a process, Gerry. It's not going to happen overnight, but we certainly cannot leave, we cannot afford to allow this legislation to fall.
Okay, and that's where things stand when it comes to that. Can I ask you, just on a separate issue, I suppose, about all the scientific reports that we are getting, and they're all going in one direction, talking about, you know, things are getting too warm, there's pressure on biodiversity, we're going backwards in some areas about it. Are you losing the battle in terms of convincing people or bringing people with you? Are they overwhelmed by all the scientific reports that they're getting and feeling perhaps maybe powerless to change it?
Look, the first thing I would say as a climate activist for the last 30 years, that, you know, we've lost a lot of time, there's no doubt about it, but, you know, and that we have to follow our international commitments in terms of the Paris Agreement, and we have to stay on track. Now, I would argue that we aren't moving fast enough, and we have to remember the reason that the planet is warming is because we are burning greenhouse gas emissions through our modes of transport, so we have to change our modes of transport so that we have to have more options for people to get out of the car to use public transport. Now, I know in Kerry there's always an argument that, you know, you have very isolated rural areas, but you do have more rural transport available now, and we have to look at how we're heating our homes, so again we're retrofitting. The Greens have put in a big program on retrofitting. Now you'll ask, you know, but you're, not everyone can do that, but there is the whole ring fencing of the carbon tax is going to social housing, so we're seeing that the councils here in Kerry and across Ireland are retrofitting social housing to make sure that people on low incomes can afford to have a warm home, but also they're not spending all of the money on the heating of homes. So there's still a lot of measures we can take. We cannot backtrack on this at all, because we will lose ground. And that's why the Greens are, we have six candidates in the local elections, and all of them know their stuff on climate and biodiversity
With that in mind, there's a lot of criticism. You mentioned some of it already in terms of the nature restoration law. There's a lot of attack on the Green Party, a lot of criticism from rural TDs, not just independent ones, but backbenchers within the government coalition parties as well, not happy with some of the policies you're pushing. Are you really convinced that you can win seats in Kerry in the local elections next year?
Oh, look, Gerry, I'm convinced that we have every opportunity to win seats. And, you know, Gerry, a few years ago, honestly, we weren't tabling six people here in Kerry at all. We weren't standing six people.
Yeah.
You know, the people are coming to us. They're asking us to stand. You have, you know, Cleo Murphy is in the party now a number of years running again. Anne-Marie Fuller, if you want anyone knows Anne-Marie, they know, like, and she's up in this toll. I mean, she knows so much about climate change. She's a scientist. She's a brilliant way of explaining, you know, what's happening and what we need to do. And we have Anne Lune Dunn in Tralee, John Paul Bowler in Castle Island, Dermot Griffin in Killarney, and then Tadhair O'Fionnuala in Dingle. So, like, I think the fact that people are coming to the Greens and putting themselves forward to run, it isn't easy, Gerry. It isn't easy to run, and it isn't been easy being a Green when you're part of coalition government. And I often describe, sometimes I feel like the Greens are trying to push a boulder up the hill. You know, it's like there's so much kind of pushback towards the policies we're trying to get in place. But the policies make sense. So I would say to anyone listening to this, you know, have a look at the policies, what the Green Party are trying to push forward. And look, everything is, like, we recognise that change is difficult and we have to bring people on board. And it's step by step by step, you know.
Okay.
But it has to happen.
Well, one of the big things that we're talking and thinking about changing is our position on neutrality in this country. The President, Michael D. Higgins, has had to apologise for some of the remarks he made in relation to Professor Louise Richardson with regards to her stewardship of what is going to be consultative forum and national security policy starting on Thursday. What's your view on the situation and the fact that the President, it looks like he's cut the legs out from under this forum before it even started?
Yeah, it was a very interesting, very timely interview that the President gave. Now, I've a huge admiration and respect for President Higgins. I always see him as the President of the people. Now, his reference to Professor Richardson, I think, was really unfortunate, you know, because, you know, like, I know Louise Richardson. She's from my own town of Tramore. Went to the same school as myself, you know. know, she's an expert in her field, and as we've heard, she's been very positive in any area she's worked in terms of social inclusion and that, you know, and I think she is a very good person to do this job. I think the president bringing forward his interview, I think he's done us a service by putting the issue on the table. I think, you know, I know I spoke to people in Tremor at the weekend, and they said to me they were unawares that the process was going to take place. So in that way, he's certainly launched it onto the table.
But has he not gone too far, though? He's totally denigrated the people who are on the committee, alleging and essentially saying it's full of military types who will change our neutrality and foreigners down the road of a drift before it even starts its work.
I know, and already he's the description of the various ranks of the people on the committee has been proven to be inaccurate. Those people who are on the committee now, and there's people from Troker and Concern and different organisations beyond people with military experience. So that has been cleared up. What I think will happen now, Gerry, and I think it's very welcome, is people will, and the public, and that's the who matters in the end, will engage much more with the issue that's on the table of Irish neutrality, and we'll get a much better understanding what we mean by military neutrality. And from my own perspective, from having spent years working with Greenpeace and out on peace campaigning and that, I think you know, our strength is our work with humanitarian work, where we can support you know, operations in the Mediterranean Sea, where we can and we have always been seen as strong and great capability in terms of leading meetings in terms of pushing the peace agenda. But that's for the people now, and it's on the table. The review is going to happen, I think, on the back of what President Higgins said. We could very easily see this going into a citizens' assembly. I welcome citizens' assembly. It's not everyone's best method, maybe, in terms of progressing in policy and that, but I like it. I think it's a very good mechanism. So I think this is a ways to go, and I welcome President Higgins putting it front and centre now on the table. You know, he might have gone a bit far in terms of you know, his comments too about Professor Richardson and that, but in any case, look, it's front and centre now, and I think everyone's going to engage more than ever.